I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. We've had a couple developments that continue to move us on the arc of this virus event, and we want to make sure that we're sharing with the public all the information that we have as things move forward and change. So that's why we're here today, and we're going to begin with Dr. Escott.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Dr. Mark Escott. I'm the Interim Health Authority for Austin Public Health. Austin in Travis County has joined a seemingly growing number of cities and counties that have positive cases in their area. Austin Public Health has received two presumptive positive cases of COVID-19 overnight in our jurisdiction. These represent the first two cases in our area. At this stage, the information is limited, and we will share more information as we have it and as necessary to share to protect the health of the public. For now, we have one male in his 60s who is hospitalized in our area, the other a female in her 30s who is being quarantined at home. Our epidemiologists are working around the clock to track these individuals, their contacts, even before they got sick. But at this stage, these do not represent community spread of the disease, which means they're epidemiologically linked to another case or to another jurisdiction. I mentioned the one individual is at home and under quarantine. There are other individuals in that home. Our teams are doing surveillance on those individuals. They've been under monitoring since we identified the need to test this individual. And we may do additional testing and will do additional testing of those individuals in the household. All those individuals either have no symptoms or are having mild symptoms at this stage, including the confirmed case. As we get you more information, it's important to remind the public what our strongest defense is, and that is in that simple hand hygiene messaging. I've said before and I'll say again, we don't yet have a vaccine. We don't have an identified treatment, although we have folks around the world working hard to try to identify a treatment. We're trying to identify medications that can be given in the case of exposure or to be given to healthcare workers and first responders to help prevent the spread of disease. But until then, our strongest defense is those simple messages: washing your hands, not touching your face, cough or sneezing into a bent elbow, and most importantly, staying home if you're sick. And I just want to point out that the individual who's still at home has been acting responsibly. They've been staying home. They've had other people get them food and bring it to them. And these are the actions we need the community all to think about, regardless of if they think they have COVID-19 or flu or something else. When you're sick, you must stay home. You must get better. And that's the best thing you can do to recover yourself and the best thing that you can do to help protect this community. Again, we expect to see more cases. We expect there to be some element of community person-to-person spread. But it's critical for us to limit that to small numbers of people so that we never exceed the capacity of our healthcare system to manage those number of cases. So if you recall, we have a five-phase plan, which is located on our website, www.austintexas.gov/COVID-19. This moves us from phase two to phase three, which means we have confirmed cases. If we have evidence of limited person-to-person spread, for instance, if a person in the household were to be tested positive, that would be phase four. Phase five is that community spread or outside of an isolated or close contact. And it's important to think about those. Recently, the CDC has updated something called the Implementation of Mitigation Strategies for Communities with COVID-19 Transmission. It looks like this, and it's on the CDC website. This is a great guide for homes, for families, for businesses, for schools, for hospitals, and other parts of the community to start thinking about the things they can do in their business or their home to help mitigate threats. It also sets some expectations of stronger steps that may need to be taken in the future to help mitigate the risk further. As I mentioned last week and early in a press conference this week, we are continuing to look at additional steps we can take to further protect those who are most vulnerable, including our elderly and those with underlying health conditions, as well as strengthen the messaging in the community to ensure that people are constantly reminded of those critical personal hygiene needs. I do want to point out something else, and this is really important, because we're fighting two epidemics right now. One is COVID-19, and the other is fear. We have faced adversity before, individually, as the community, and we can choose two paths at this stage. One path is to choose fear and panic. The other path is to choose strength and resiliency. We have to choose strength. We have to choose strength. And that means we need people to start planning. We need them to do things which are reasonable to mitigate this risk, to prepare themselves, their family, and to not spread rumor and panic. We have this under control. We have plans. We have engaged partnerships with all of our healthcare systems, with our city and county government, with our local governments from around Travis County and around the region. We are standing strong together, and we must act as one community and one government to do better and to weather this storm. I'll pass it to Judge Eckhart, and then we'll take questions at the end.
I just want to amplify what the doctor said. Panic will make us weaker. So we are in this together. You can be assured that we have been meeting with all relevant parties and doing the preparation necessary. We are fortunate as a community that we had a phased plan in place very early, that we are moving through those phases in an orderly and predictable fashion, that although we do see two confirmed cases in our community, we know where they came from. So our risk is elevated only in as much as we know we will see community spread at some point. So now is the time not to panic, but to continue preparing. And I really want to give great thanks to our community for doing such a wonderful job in preparation, making sure we do get the message out that our best defense from COVID-19 are the very same things that our mama taught, are the very same things of washing our hands, sneezing into our elbows, staying home when you're sick, and being a good neighbor. We know who our most vulnerable populations are in Travis County, and we are doing what's necessary to prepare for them and to make sure that our resources are prioritized for them so that we can be stronger together. So with that, I will hand it over to Mayor Adler.
Before we take questions, I just want to reiterate again, this is a virus that we have known was coming to us. It is now coming to us. And that's never really been the question. The question for our community is, as it gets here, how does it get here? How quickly does it spread? And what we know is that if we look at other cities, that to the degree that we can have this virus work at a pace that we can handle, we're going to be in the best possible place, which is why it's really important that everybody wash their hands. that everybody fist bump. We really need to socialize that. It's really important that if someone's not feeling well, that they don't go to work. These are things we ask people to do, not just so that they feel good being able to do something, but because the data shows us that that's really the most important thing that we can be doing. Everyone needs to know that the city and the county and the public officials continue to meet on a regular basis and are analyzing this constantly and throughout the day. As we get more information, we're going to change orders and change things that we see. This weekend we had some big events. We're appreciative of that some of those folks have taken a look at their events and pulled them back. And I just want to reiterate what the judge said and what Dr. Escott said. We have been in situations before where as a community, it's been important for us to be calm and deal with what's in front of us. We did it with the bombing. We did it with a water boil, and now we have a virus. Our city, like all other cities around the world, are dealing with this. We will continue to come back to you as conditions change, as it's important to have new or different kinds of orders. It's our understanding that the governor is going to also hold a press conference today at noon. This is moving as we knew that it would, and we're now moving through our phased approach. Questions?
Can you talk about just where these people contracted the virus? Did it come from domestically? Did it come internationally? And also, is there a connection between these two people? Are they at all related?
The two cases are not related to one another. One of the cases is epidemiologically related to a case from the Houston area. The other case, the individual was transferred to a hospital here from a different region of the state. We have no evidence of that person was ever outside a hospital within the city of Austin or Travis County.
So was that person already diagnosed with the coronavirus at that different region before transferred here?
No. The diagnosis was here, which is why the results came to us. The person is still hospitalized here.
Why was the person sent here?
Individuals, particularly from rural communities, are often transferred to major cities because we have the tertiary care, we have the expertise, we have a world-class healthcare system, which means that as this issue grows across the state, we can expect for people from rural communities may be sent to major metropolitan areas to provide that expert-level care.
And can you talk about how they were tested? Like, what symptoms were they exhibiting that they were allowed to get tested? And can you say generally how many tests are ongoing in Travis County?
I'll say that we're testing people every day. We're sending tests every day. We're getting tests back every day. That number varies. Now that we have private labs that are sending tests, we don't have an accurate count of how many total people in our jurisdiction are being tested, which is one reason why we're not going to talk about numbers, because it doesn't include those other folks. These two individuals were tested both by a hospital system, and both tests were run at a state lab. I don't have a time frame on turnaround for one test. I know that the other test, we had results within 12 hours.
Can you talk about what symptoms they were exhibiting? And did the person who's quarantined at home, did they go to the hospital or did they call their doctor?
One individual, the hospitalized individual, is critically ill, and the clinician had clinical suspicion for it and requested testing, which was approved. The other individual was under monitoring by Austin Public Health. She indicated that she was having some mild symptoms. Therefore, we arranged for her to be tested, and that testing was done outside of a hospital.
We're talking about moving to phase three of the response plan. What's different in phase three?
Phase three is you know, situational awareness for the community that we now have confirmed cases so that people can assess the risk for themselves, for their businesses, you know, for their schools, and they can make start to make decisions based upon that level of concern.
Is the city and county doing anything differently with phase three?
Again, we're continuing to evaluate mitigation strategies. As I said last week, I plan on a series of public health orders to further strengthen the defenses for the community and particularly for those vulnerable populations. And we expect we're going to continue to do that. We've already activated the Emergency Operations Center before this point, based on the threat in Texas and the growing threat across the U.S. So there's no, at this stage, there's no substantial increase in our position just based on this, because there's not evidence of community spread.
What does the process look like to notify people who might have come in contact with these individuals before they were diagnosed with any businesses that they might have gone to? What does that process look like?
I'm going to ask Janet Pichette, who's our chief epidemiologist, to take that question.
Good morning. I'm Janet Pichette, chief epidemiologist. So the question was asked about what changes at phase three. From the epidemiologic perspective, what one thing that changes is what our response actions are at the local public health department, and that is we have a strike team of epidemiologists and nursing staff who will begin the arduous task of contact tracing. So that requires them to investigate that individual and determine where they've been, if they've been in contact with any other individuals. If they have been in contact with any other individuals, it will be following up and determining, making contact with those people and making sure that they have control orders on them if necessary, and identify all the locations that that they've been to during their period of infectiousness.
How long do you expect that to take?
It just depends on how, you know, cooperative people are. Sometimes people don't want you want to know where they've been, but we're pretty good at tracking down places where they've been.
I just want to clarify something. Is it accurate to say that the woman was in Houston, whereas the man who's hospitalized was initially at the rural hospital? And then I have a follow-up question, which is, did public health advise Austin ISD to go ahead and cancel classes today?
We were in conference, phone conference, all day yesterday with a variety of elected officials, local elected officials, as well as state elected officials, advising all of them that each one is acting under their own authority and will have to make risk assessments for themselves, including, actually, our festival community. We were also in a conference call with our festival community, apprising them of the circumstance so that they could assess their risks. And I think that you saw the results of that with three different events choosing to self-selecting to cancel their events. Similarly, when we have our phone calls with all of our elected officials, each one can make a decision independent of the other, although, of course, we do prefer that we make a decision together. We all, of course, completely support our AISD in the decisions that they make. But Travis County and the City of Austin are not closing down today. And if at a level three, we have certainly reached out to all of our other elected officials, as well as our institutions, both private and public, to discuss with them what level four looks like with regard to working from home, social distancing at work, reduced staffing, increased spacing, office sharing arrangements, and whatnot. So at level three, we plan. At level four, we would deploy those new plans.
And what about that clarification on just who was coming from Houston, who was coming from the rural hospital?
So one individual, the epidemiologic link was to a Houston case. The individual's from a different county other than Harris County, and the other one is from a rural area.
Is that why the woman was under monitoring, because she had contacted y'all, or that you knew she had come back from Houston, or was she coming back from elsewhere?
We were advised by Montgomery County that the individual was a person under investigation at that stage, and at that stage we made contact with her and issued control orders.
And she lives here. She's a resident of Austin.
She's staying here.
She's staying here.
Yes. Okay. With ASD Council in class today, is this related to any of the cases? Did either of the patients have any contact with the ISD?
I don't have any information to that effect at this stage. As the judge said, you know, entities are going to have to make a shared decision with their constituents. And, you know, in some circumstances, the level of risk is not clear. Tolerance for risk is going to be lower, and you know, we work with our stakeholders, we work with our governmental officials, with our school districts, with our universities. We have conversations like this to help inform them what the best decision is that they can make for their constituents.
Let's go three more. Can you explain in as simple terms as possible just the difference between something like an airborne illness and something that is spread through droplets? I mean, what can people take away from this in terms of what their risk is walking down the street versus going to a business, something like that?
Sure. So airborne means it can travel on very small particles in the air, and because it's very small, those particles can float around for a while. Droplet means larger drops of water, if you will, or fluid, which tend to, you know, if somebody's coughing or sneezing, it projects and then falls within 3 to 6 feet, which is why we talk about that 6 foot of separation between sick people to try to avoid that chance of spread. Let me be very clear. The virus is not going to jump up and grab you. If people stay home who are sick, it's not going to get you off the street. It's not going to jump off a table and get you, or off an airline seat and get you. It's generally, if it's not sick people in the community, then it's coming from surfaces. And when it comes from surfaces, it's because you touched it, and you've touched your mucous membranes, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, which is why we have to continue to reinforce that message. Wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, don't touch your face. If we can stick to that, if we can be steadfast, then we can really be impactful on limiting the spread. As I described in Commissioner's Court and Council work session earlier, if we can implement those non-pharmaceutical interventions early, if we can get the community really engaged, we can avoid hitting that rapid rise that we've seen in other communities that overstresses our healthcare system, and we will fare much better than other communities have in this outbreak.
What is the man who's in the hospital, is he in an isolation room, and then is the woman who's at her house, was she here to visit family? Is she with her family or friends?
She's staying with people in Austin or the Austin Travis County area. The individual is in isolation in an ICU setting.
Is that in a negative pressure room?
I assume so. Okay. I don't have those details.
Last question.
What hospital is he at?
I'm not going to share hospital information.
Okay, you get one more. Go ahead. One more question. Anyone?
I would just ask what the balance is here between going out into the community to support some of these businesses that have been impacted by these major event cancellations. I mean, we're hearing, I feel like, a little bit of mixed messaging here. Go out and support businesses, but also don't interact with too many people. What's the balance?
Yeah, again, this is where we need people to understand the risk generally. You know, we have no evidence of person-to-person spread at this stage in this community. They also need to understand the risk personally. If you're over the age of 65, if you have significant health conditions, you need to be less tolerant of going out into crowded settings, restaurants, bars, and other venues where you might have a chance of contacting a sick person. If you're young and healthy, it should be less of a concern for you. Again, people are going to get this. Children are going to get this. Adults are going to get this. VIPs are going to get this. We saw Tom Hanks and professional athletes get this. It's going to happen, folks. But if we think about this with level heads, if we respond appropriately and stay home and get better, if we don't rush to the ER because we're concerned and we call our doctor, or we use one of the numerous telehealth resources that we have in our community and around the state, then we will do just fine. We have to avoid overtaxing our healthcare system with folks flooding hospitals and ERs who don't need to be there. And you know, it's important that folks go to reliable sources of information like the website I gave earlier, the CDC, the WHO, to share and learn facts instead of fiction and fear.
Thank you all.